This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." This is Sherry Medlock, America's messenger of truth. So America, men, women, boys, and girls, please open your truth book, your King James Bible, to the Gospel of St. John, chapter 17, verse 3, where we left off last time. John, chapter 17, verse 3. Just before we began, I want to praise the Lord for healing Ryan. We prayed for him, and let's give God a hand for that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. You did that. God bless you, Ryan. We'll keep praying for you. I also want to invite all of you to come to my school here each Sunday, 5 p.m., for more of this book, chapter, verse, line by line, teaching of God's Word. That's each Sunday, 5 p.m., Sherry Medlock School. And then I open the healing bench, and we pray for the sick and whatever else ails you. Now, John 17, verse 3. We learned last time that John 17 is the true Lord's Prayer, because Christ himself is praying here. Now, we mistakenly call the Our Father in Matthew 6 the Lord's Prayer. It's a beautiful, beautiful words, but Jesus was there giving an outline. He was teaching them how to pray. They said, "Teach us to pray." So he said, "After this manner." In other words, each one of these means something. And as I said last time, I could take about four of my programs here and go through that, and we could learn a lot of things about praying, and it's very beautiful. But this is truly the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord is about to go to the cross as he prays this. And he thanked God last time for the ones God had given him, meaning the very elect who, Ephesians 1:4, were chosen before the foundation of the earth. That would be that small group in the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6, the world age, when Lucifer, Isaiah 14, rebelled and said, "I will be God." And everybody else betrayed God, but one-third got up and fought with Michael the archangel against Satan, that old dragon, Revelation 12. We're in our spiritual bodies then, but God has sent out a remnant, and they're called the wife of God, you might say, spiritually wed. They never did betray God. And so he was thanking him, God, for that. Jesus was. And of course, we learned that some of them had been Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David, and Jeremiah, and Isaiah. And now these with him, Peter, James, and John, and then there would be Paul, and on down through the corridors of time, and now the very elect here at the end who will stand before God. So Jesus was thanking the Father for the very elect. A few there be that find the straight and narrow way. And he said, they have eternal life.
Three. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God.
And this is how you have eternal life. They might know you, the one true God. Hear, O Israel, there's only one God. The word "know" there is a marriage term, as in Romans 8:28, whom he foreknew, he did predestinate and justify. That's the elect. In other words, think spiritually minded, spiritually wed, did not betray him in the spirit body. And so they have eternal life. Now he's going to tell us how anyone may have eternal life. This is Jesus speaking, praying.
And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent.
There is no other way given unto man whereby men might be saved. So it has to be Jesus, and that is how you get saved, he says.
For I have glorified thee on the earth.
Now, the glorified there is the Shekinah glory. That means the very presence of God. So Jesus says to the Father in the Lord's Prayer, John 17, verse 3, we're on 4 now. He says, I have manifested your presence on the earth. Remember that God was in Jesus reconciling the world to himself. And Isaiah 7:14, it says, Emmanuel, God with us. So he says, I have brought your presence down to this earth age.
I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do.
Now, this is a beautiful statement. Jesus says, I have finished the work. And yet, he's praying just before he's going to allow himself to be arrested and be crucified on a cross to pay our sin debt, to shed his blood for our sins. Why does he say it's finished? Because there is power in commitment. Jesus set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem. He was so determined to do what God sent him to this plane to do that there was never a question. There is power in commitment. When you make up your mind that come hell or high water, and it will come, that you are going to finish the course and do what God called you to do, did you know that gives you power? Even Satan, I have found out, will stop bothering me in some areas because he knows it's pointless. There is power. And Jesus was so committed. As far as he was concerned, it was a done deal. You know, you take two businessmen, let's say President Donald Trump, you know, he knows the art of the deal, our wonderful president. So he's shaking the hands with a man, and the man's going to give him some property, and Donald's going to give him some money, and no money and no property has exchanged hands, but they both say, it's a done deal. So it was done as far as Jesus said. Now, he had a few more things to do, like go and hang on a cross for 6 hours, but as far as he was concerned, it was done. Be that committed. This helps me. And this has strengthened me. And it'll strengthen you when you get hit. It'll strengthen when you're weak, when you feel weak. Because you know in the name of Jesus. Because remember, Satan cannot tear up your house when you are committed and Jesus is in your house.
Amen. 5. And now, O Father, glorify thy name with thine own self.
Now, this is interesting. Father, glorify your name. Glorify means put your presence on your name, in other words. And, of course, Jesus is saying, put your presence on Jesus. So let's find out what is God's name. At the burning bush, Moses said, God, what is your name? And God spoke Hebrew. He speaks Hebrew, you know. He said, Ayah Asha Ayah. I am that I am. I am that I will become. Now, the first I am there, the etymology of that word, all the way back to the prime, is YHVH, Yahweh, which means Lord. So God said, Moses said, what's your name? He said, I am the Lord, and I will be what I want to be. Now, we're going to come back to that. Now, we learned in this gospel, John 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Whoa, the Word is God. Wait a minute. What's your name, God? We go all the way through the Bible, Genesis, Malachi, Matthew, Revelation 19, and God says, voila, here it is. You have to read the end of the book to know. Revelation 19, 13, his name is called the Word of God. We went from all the Bible. Now we know. See, that's why you got to read the whole thing. You read the end of the book. That's his name, the Word of God. Now, we know that he says, I am that I am. I am that I will become. We know that God is a spirit. So Jesus says here, Spirit, Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is God, the Father, and God the Son. Put your spirit on your name. So what is his name? His name is called the Word of God. Right there, we got a great big clue that every time that we speak the Word, read the Word, hear the Word, we must have the anointing of Holy Spirit upon him. All right. Now, God is a spirit. So we found out his name is called the Word of God. So God says, I will be what I want to be. I am that I will become. So God sees you all restless and tossing and turning and feeling anxious and fretful and scared to death. And he says to you, dear Christian, he says, I am Yahweh Shalom. I am the Lord, your peace. He wanted to give you peace. Receive it. Hallelujah. Amen. So then he sees you sick. And he says, I will be what I want to be. I want you, my child, to be well. So he says to you, I am, that's Yahweh, I am Yahweh Rapha. I am the Lord who healeth thee. He wanted to be that. He wants to do that. So receive it. Okay. Now, you say, I need guidance. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know what I should do. I'm so confused. And the Lord says, I want to help them. So God says, I am Yahweh Rohi. I am the Lord, your shepherd. I will guide you with my eye. I will teach and instruct you the way I want you to go. Psalm 32, 8. Do you understand? These are the names of God. And all of the names of God are sacred. You need comfort. You need nourishment. You need a hug. God wants to give you that. So he says to you, I am El Shaddai. I am your nourishment. Hallelujah. I satisfy your longing soul. I fill your hungry soul with goodness. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, through this prayer that Jesus is praying over and over and over, he says, thy name. Now, everybody tell me, what's his name? Revelation 19, 13. His name is called the Word of God. Everybody memorize it. His name is called the Word of God. Let's put some more oomph into it. His name is called the Word of God. Okay. Now, you say, that is so great. Now I know the name of God. But what does that have to do with you? Everything. Are you saved? Do you have the Holy Spirit? Okay. Are you in the vine? The vine is the Word. That's his name. You're the branch. If you're not twisted out of joint, that Word's coming into you. It's sure coming into you when you come around me. It's coming into you. Okay. So, Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And Jesus says, thou art snared by the words of thy mouth. And as our young prophet, Maximilian Mersenne, 13. He's the brother of the world's most famous tambourine player, Olivia Mersenne. And they're all the precious children, both of them, of Angela and Scott Mersenne. Max just read us James. And James says that your tongue is the least member in your mouth. And he says it's like a tiny rudder on a great big ship. But he says the rudder will turn the whole great big ship around. Now, here's the deal. Many of you have let your rudder get stuck in the mud. Here's why. Out of the same fountain cannot flow sweet and bitter waters. You're a fountain. You cannot agree with the name of God and what the world calls it. Never the twain shall meet. And that is why you do not get your victory. Yes, I pray for you, and I say this and believe it, and you do. But you also go back over here. A double-minded man is stable in all your ways. You do not get the answer because you're trying to walk on water and take the boat. You can't do both, either walk on the water or take the boat. Make sure you get there. Okay, everybody understand it? In other words, okay, let's say that you're just uneasy, and so God's Word says, I am Yahweh Shalom. I am the Lord your peace. You know, Jesus said in one of these chapters not too long ago, he says, I give you the peace that passes understanding. May my peace be with you. But then you say, oh, but I don't know what's going to happen. I'm so anxious here. I feel like I'm coming out of my skin. See, your tongue got stuck there. Even though you spoke that, Yahweh Shalom, then you said, but I'm scared. Yahweh Shalom, but I'm scared. Yahweh Rapha, but I'm sick. The Lord is my healer, but I'm sick. The Lord is my provider, Yahweh Yara, but I'm broke. You see? Now you say, dear God, but we are. Nobody's talking about the facts. We're talking about the truth. This world is a lie. You understand? You cannot walk on water and take a boat at the same time. And that's why your ship is stuck and cannot turn it around. What you have to do, set your face like a flint. Commit to the name of God that applies to your situation, Yahweh, whatever it is. There's Yahweh Sidkenu, Lord your Sanctus. Some of you need to be sanctified. Some of you need to be this or that or the other. Whatever. Some of you want God to fight your battle. He is Yahweh Nisi. He is the Lord who fights your battle. So you say, you're in Yahweh Nisi. You fight my battle. Hallelujah. And then you say, boy, I better roll up my sleeves. I better fight this one. Oh, I got to get this done. This is hard. I got to believe it. I got to believe it. I got to believe it. See, it doesn't work. You say, that is radical. Yes. Yes, it is. To be a Christian, like Jesus asked, is radical. Don't see too many of them. Death and life's in the power of the tongue. Isaiah says, whose report will you believe? Okay? The doctor has given you a diagnosis. So we pray for you. And we say with Jesus' stripes, you're healed. Many times I have felt them healed on the bench. But if you're then going to, out of the same fountain cannot come sweet and bitter waters, you're going to go to the bitter. You go to the better, which is God, and then you go to the bitter, which is what the world says. It will never mix. Never the twain shall meet. So, draw a line in the sand. Either make up your mind you're going to walk on water, period, or you're going to take a boat. They do not mix. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Many of the things that you're suffering through, and the reason you don't get out, is even though you've had the prayer, and even though you love God, and you love the word, and you said that word, your little tongue, your little rudder, also goes back. When you speak of something, you build it up and it becomes powerful. And the more you tend attention to the trouble, the bigger the trouble gets. And suddenly the trouble is bigger than the name of God. What's his name? I am that I am. I am that I will become. And then he's delegated that authority to you in his name and for his glory and to help you.
Amen.
Amen. The joy which I had with thee before the world was.
The word should be glory there. He says, show me the glory that I had before. The glory again means his presence. In other words, I was with you, Father, and then I had to kind of separate myself and dump my God self into this painful flesh body. But I'm going to get out of here pretty soon. Don't you know that was hard for Jesus? That's God, to be put in this little trap of a flesh body? I mean, it's hard for us, and we're not God. Woo!
I have manifested thy name to the men which thou hast given me.
See, I told you, he said his name again. See, this is why God gave me the teaching of the name. See, everybody thinks the name is Jesus. Jesus means Yahweh's Savior. But who is that? In the beginning was the Word was God. His name is called the Word of God. See, God's name is the Word. And everything, Genesis 1 to Revelation 20 word, is God's name. And that's all you need. Do you know that everything about your life, your job, your body, your family, your social life, your up-sitting and your down-sitting and going here and there and filling out forms and tax forms and business forms and selling and working, everything should be within the Word. It is not you holding it and looking at it and putting it on a shelf and then going driving your own ship. Your whole life should be directed by the Word of God. Even when you drop something and can't find it, I go through this, and you don't find it because I have a bit of a problem with my eyes. I'm getting better, and then I don't say where is it, and there's usually nobody to help it. I just say there's nothing hidden shall not be revealed. The word should come popping out of you because that's what is important. It's all that's important, and that's what Satan has stolen from most of you. The real word. Oh, you got a few bits and pieces. You got a few crumbs. But you need the whole loaf.
Amen.
Out of the world, thine they were, and thou gavest them me.
Okay, they were with God. These were the ones who did not betray God, and God sent them out. God has sent out that small remnant in every generation to bring forth the oracles of truth.
And they have kept thy word.
Kept is like to tend and guard, shamar. Any elect, your major calling is to keep the word of God. There is nothing higher. There is nothing to be exalted above the word of God. God gives us gifts and talents. And I've always used all of mine for his glory. I'm trained as a classical concert pianist. I used to go to a church and give classical concerts, Bach, Beethoven. And the Holy Spirit would give me a spiritual message. It was beautiful. It was like the gospel. And I would tell the story and then play this beautiful music. But did you know that's not the best thing I can do? I can direct a play and write a play and make beautiful costumes and dance and stand on top of my head and bring home the bacon. Well, not really. We don't eat bacon. But my point is that's not important. Scott, you have a beautiful gift from God to take pictures. And the pictures show angelic beings. But that's not the greatest thing. The whole purpose of an elect is to get the word of God out. because his name is called the Word of God. We use those talents when we can, but our greater work is the Word of God. Keep it in mind, all of you who are elect. That doesn't mean all of you are called to preach. Please don't if you're not called. But all of you meet somebody, and your job is to tell somebody the truth and to bring somebody to the truth. How about Trumpet of Truth?
Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. 8. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me.
See, he stopped saying name there. If you ever notice about Jesus, it's like the vine. He had the vine, and then he called it love, and then he called it the word, you see. So now he stopped saying name. He says, I've given them the word. We know from reading other gospels that obviously Jesus taught the disciples the Torah, the Pentateuch, the Bible, that they had Genesis through Malachi at that time, because you can see that he would often quote from Daniel or Jeremiah, or he would say something from Elisha or Elijah. So he obviously taught them every word of God. See, there is no greater thing for you elect to do than to declare the word of God. Coupled with the word of God must be prayer, and the prayer must be Holy Spirit praying through you. Spirit, prayer, and word. The first disciple said we will give ourselves to the word and prayer. This is the calling of elect. Again, it doesn't mean you have to be a preacher or teacher, but you must be involved in that and doing that, and that is the highest calling. And we come together as a unit to do that. So I call all of you elect to let us get this word out and to pray in the Spirit, and God will be very pleased, and he will use us to bring many sons to glory.
And they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee.
Jesus says, Father, they know that I'm the Messiah. I'm the promised Messiah of the Scriptures. I have shown them how it was prophesied that a virgin would conceive and bear a son. I would call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. They know that, Father.
And they have believed that thou didst send me. 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world.
Whoa. I pray for the elect, says Jesus. I don't pray for the world. Oh, what is that? All right. You say, but Jesus loves the world. Surely he prays for the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus did plenty for the world. That's all those people, generation after generation, that betrayed him then. He did plenty for the world. He gave himself and paid your sin debt. But he prays for his elect because it starts on the inside job. The ones who did not betray him have been settled in every generation. It's not the mainstream. It's not one verse and 3 points and books about the book. It's the mystery of God. The first are these. Even things what I'm saying right now, many people listening have never heard this. It's in the Bible. And so he sent it out to get that light out. Because when the elect get the word of God out, then the people in the world, whosoever will may come, will come. And then they'll be God's child, and then Jesus will pray for them. Hallelujah. It's really a win-win situation. Romans 8, he says, he sits as our high priest forever, after order of Melchizedek, ever living to make intercession for us. So he starts, see, judgment begins the pulpit. He prays especially for the elect who are keeping and guarding his heart, which is his word. Because if the world doesn't get the word, if you don't get the word, all of your pancake breakfast and your singing in the choir and your reading your Bible won't do any good. You have to understand the word. You have to live in it. You have to swim in it and be directed by it moment by moment every day. And for all eternity, the word shall endure forever.
But for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine.
For they are thine.
Christian.
So Jesus says, this is a love story, Father. They are thine, and I am thine, and they are mine. As a man said to me once, trying to woo my heart, he said to me, mi casa, your casa. And so he was saying, what's mine is thine. But you know, this is a beautiful love story. Jesus is going to say, Father, you've given me this word, and I have it, and we're one. Now we're going to give it to them, and they have it, and we just all come, and me casa, your casa, and we shall dwell in God's casa, his house, his mansion, forever. It's a beautiful love story. It's the greatest love story ever told.
And all mine are thine.
See, I told you, mi casa, your casa.
And thine are mine. And I am glorified in them.
How was Jesus glorified in? Glorified again means Shekinah glory. My presence is on them. See, right now, Jesus is glorified in this assembly because the presence of Jesus by his Holy Spirit is on us. Glory, hallelujah. He's glorified.
11, and now I am no more in the world.
Now he stops saying name, he stops saying word, and he says his sacred name, I am. Don't you know many times he wanted to just jump out of his mask and say, I am? That's the sacred name, Yahweh, I am that I will become. You know what he did then? I am what I want to be, I am what I will become. I want to get out of this world. I am. I'm out of here. That's what he said. Did y'all get that? Are you awake? I am. I'm out of here, he says. And he stated it. And that's his name. He stated, I am what I will become. I want to get out of this flesh suit and go back to my throne. I am coming to thee. I'm out of here.
But these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me.
There's the name again. What's his name, everybody on cyberspace? Revelation 19:13. His name is called the Word of God. Keep them in your word. So how are you elect kept? How are you tended? How are you pruned? How are you watered? How are you nourished? How is it that you're able to birth babies into the kingdom, to win souls to Jesus and witness to people and bring them in from the fields of sin? You are kept in the Word of God. The reason the church is anemic and impotent and lopsided and poor little me, is because you are not drinking from the vine the Word of God. The Word of God will strengthen you. I know you have problems. Guess what? So do I. But hallelujah, hallelujah, the Word renews your strength as the eagles. And you can overcome the limitations of the human experience because Holy Spirit is supernatural and he gives you supernatural power. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That they may be one as we are. 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name.
I taught them your word. Thy name is called the Word of God. I taught them your name. I made sure they didn't digress from the word. What the church needs now, we the people of the Church of Jesus Christ in America, we need every word of God. No more men's sermons. I know they're good. No more books about the book. No more kind of stuff, showbiz. We need Genesis 1 through Revelation 22, book, chapter, verse, and line by line. That's how the church will become whole.
Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled.
Now, at this point, most people say, oh, that means Judas, because Judas at that point had gone out to betray Jesus. And so they say, well, the scripture prophesied that Judas would betray the Messiah for 30 pieces of silver, and he did. But this is not talking about Judas. Hear me well. Listen carefully. The scripture here is referring to Ezekiel 28, verses 18 through 20. God is addressing Tyrus, who is the fake rock, which is another name for Lucifer, Satan, devil, dragon, serpent. And God has told him, you went too far when you rebelled. And he says, I'm sentencing you to, the Hebrew there would be perdition, to perish from within, to turn to ashes from within and be no more, which is what Satan's final fate will be when he walks into the lake of fire. So see, the son of perdition is not Judas. Now, after all, Judas repented and he confessed. He said, I have betrayed an innocent man. What's the first step to get saved? Repent. Repent, you generation of vipers, says John the Baptist. Jesus said, repent. Judas repented. And he said, I betrayed an innocent man. And he made reparation. He gave the coins back. You say, yes, but he went out and killed himself. Now, you remember the great book of Job? We have got pages and pages of boring words which are lies from Job's friends. Not a one of his friends knows why he's suffering. God did not put the boils on Job. God did not do it. Satan did it. And they're all blaming him. And it's so boring because it's a bunch of lies. And it's in the Bible. You say, woo, but the Bible is true. Yes, God's word is true, but God says it's true that Job's friends are lying. You do not preach what Job's friend says. They don't know. So, it looks like Judas hung himself. If you read Acts 1, verse 18, if you get that right in the Greek, while he's hanging himself, he's also supposed to be cutting himself from the underneath his jaw, his throat, all the way down his body, all the way down to the end of his body. His whole insides fell out. How can you hang yourself and cut yourself open at the same time? Judas had a lot of help in, quote, committing suicide, unquote. The Kenites, the phony church leaders, the scribes and Pharisees, did not want Judas to go around telling everybody that the church people were trying to kill Jesus. He had a lot of help. He repented. So the son of perdition is Satan. So ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, what is his name? Revelation 19:13. His name is called the Word of God. Whose report will you believe? Will you believe his name, or you'll believe the world's name? You cannot walk on water and take a boat at the same time. Never the twain shall meet. Commitment is power. Let your tongue, the rudder of your ship, speak the I am words of God. And sooner or later, that ship will get unglued there, get out of the mud, and start turning around. I am a living witness. And I said living instead of dead. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We'll begin right there next time. But right now it's time for Mystery Moment. Questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. I want to welcome the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, my twin friend, a man after God's own heart, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing good, Miss Sherry. We got some good questions this week, too.
Oh, good.
Okay, our first one. What are the three woes of Revelation 11?
The three woes of Revelation 11. This is a prophecy of the end. The first one would be the fallen angels called Nephilim of Genesis 6 and of Jude. And they refuse to be born of women. And they're coming back with the Antichrist, Revelation 12. And they're going to come into the Christian church and pretend to have a great big Christian revival on that part of the church that will be deceived. Half of the church of Jesus will be deceived. Five are wise and five are foolish. And they're very charismatic, and they'll quote the scripture, and they're going to try to act like this is a godly thing and prepare your heart to receive the Messiah, and try to make you think that their father, who is the devil, is the Messiah. That's why Paul said women, and it means men and women, bride of Christ, have your head covered. It's not talking about wear a hat in church and not have long hair. It means have your head covered with Christ so you will not be deceived. That's the first quote. Because they're going to actually come in and aid a great big revival. Isn't everybody praying for revival?
Yeah.
If we awaken, we wouldn't need a revival. We stay in the Word, we'd stay revived. Anyway, I've already digressed. The second woe is the Antichrist, Revelation 12. He is the instead of Christ. He is the devil with his Jesus costume on. He's coming before Jesus at the sixth trump. We're in the fifth trump now, time of learning. It's coming to an end. And then Satan will come and call himself God and deceive the whole world. Whoa, whoa, whoa. And then the third woe is the seventh vial of Revelation. Jesus has seven vials, that wide mouth picture that he's going to pour out the cup of wrath about which he prayed in the garden. The seventh vial is when Jesus comes at the seventh trump, and he's going to pour it out on all of the world and all of those who are worshiping the Antichrist, including the deceived half of the body of Christ. That will really hurt them. But if you're an elect, you're not deceived. He says, not one hair of your head shall be harmed. Fallen angels, Antichrist, the seven vial. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Amen. Word, 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 right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, our next question. Is the seventh trump of Revelation the same trump of 1 Corinthians 15:52.
Yes, the seventh trump is the last trump mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15:52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, we shall all be changed. That's when we do the body change. When Jesus comes, that's the last trump, the seventh one, the last one out. And we step out of our flesh bodies into our spiritual bodies, saved and lost alike. But that doesn't mean the lost have eternal life. So that's what happens then. Same trump.
And our last question kind of is in line with that. Please explain eyes falling out of the sockets in Zechariah.
Zechariah actually describes that body change. And there you are, Jesus comes, and flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom is where the king is. So Jesus is coming to earth, and so in his presence, we drop off our flesh suit. It's like, oh, there goes my eye. Oh, boy, I got a good one here. I got a pretty one here. Wow, there goes my arm. Boop. Thank goodness I've got through with that. It doesn't hurt at all. It's like you had on a raggedy sweater and you were wearing it out that day and you got in the storm and it got all wet and soggy. You say, I'm so glad to get this thing off of me. And you got a beautiful, eternal, healthy, strong body. Everybody will have that, but not everybody will be saved.
Right, back to our natural way.
That's right.
We were created.
Get rid of the natural rag. Yeah. Back to where we need to be. Well, you know, at that time, then David won't need to leave his stuff in the cart.
No.
And Ezekiel won't need to leave his stuff in a bag. But we still have, ladies and gentlemen, ta-da, Scott stuff.
Okay. From an ember to a flame, I will kindle a fire in thee. The flaming flame shall not be quenched. The burning word of God shall go forth through the nation, and all flesh shall see that I, the Lord, have kindled it. Ezekiel 20:47-48.
That is beautiful. The word shall endure forever. Thank you very much, Scott Mercer. That is beautiful. I want all of you to be saved, so please pray this prayer with me. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive all my sins.
Please forgive all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To win many souls to Jesus.
Use many souls to Jesus.
I love you.
I love you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Now, in a few moments, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number, so I invite you to call me and tell me that you were saved and leave your name clearly there, and when I get the message, I will pray for you. Now, let me pray for those of you who are sick. God still heals. Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, I ask, O Son of Righteousness, that you will flow out through the airways to the north, the south, and the east and west. And wherever there is confusion, let the confusion disintegrate. And let there be Yahweh Shalom, the Lord, this person's peace. Let there be peace in the mind. Dementia be gone. Alzheimer's be gone. Let the mind be renewed by the renewing of the mind, the word of God. Let the bones be made strong. Let the pain be gone. Let the joy rise up. Let the youth and strength be renewed as the eagles. Let cancers be gone. Fibromyalgia be gone. Allergies be gone. Sinuses open up. I see. Ears here, legs walk in Jesus' mighty name. Cancer die in Jesus' name. Live, people, take up your bed and walk. Faith is an act. Don't drink the sour water. Don't say the sour water. He sent his word and healed you. He restores health and cure to you. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Praise the Lord. Now, if you were healed, feel free to call me and tell me that too. But it's time now for your love line of the week, from my heart to your heart. Commitment is power. When the devil sees that you're committed totally without one inch of wavering to be what God wants you to be, even he will be rendered clawless and toothless and powerless. Commitment is power. If you're called to a Bible study, to this trumpet of truth, to a group, to a person, to a job, whatever you're to do, make up your mind and do it. If you waver, you've lost your power. The devil knows the first little tremor when you waver there. Commitment is power. God bless all of you. I love you. Thank you so much for listening to this. Now, remember this about Jesus, Yeshua. Not only is his name called the Word of God, that is, his name is called the Word of God, but Jesus says in John 17:17, we'll get there next week, thy word is truth. Until next time, when you tune in again to Trumpet of Truth, tell all of your friends, all of America, have coffee of little clubs in your homes to invite people in. Put it in the newspaper. Tell people to meet you at your home or your workplace or something. Turn radios on and internet on in businesses. Let's all get together. This is the Word of God. This is your job. Help me out here, okay? I'm doing my part. I need you to help me get the word all over America. And until then, this is Sherry Medlock in Jesus' truth with love.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
But I know who you are. Your story made the papers. Most wanted ran your name. And the press called out for justice, for all the misery and the pain. Yeah, you must have stunned the gates of heaven. He said it's easy to explain. It was the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, that opened heaven. Door to let me in. It was the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, that washed away the guilt, that washed away the guilt of all my sin. You know I can't help believing when we breathe our last. And we mercifully go free of earthly ties. And we wake up in that city and behold a family. Who is there and who is missing? Well, we just might feast and rise. It's just the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, that opened heaven's door. By grace through faith. Yeah, I believe that when I'm called to give an answer on that day, I'll be sure that my debt is paid. I'm gonna fall on my knees and say it was the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, that opened heaven's door to let me in. It was the blood of Jesus. tell me.
Hallelujah!
promise of things yet to come. There is one born for our salvation, Jesus. There is a light that overwhelms the darkness. There is a kingdom that forever reigns. There is freedom from the chains that bind us, Jesus, Jesus.
You're listening to Brevard County's very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Lord, make me an instrument. There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where all the love I've ever found like a flood comes flowing down. At the
Transgressions, he was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed.
He was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed.
We are healed by your sacrifice. Let the life that you gave, we are healed. By your grace we are saved, we are saved.